With an intense pothole season beginning to unfold here in Michigan, debate is intensifying over how to repair and better maintain state roads and highways. Republican Governor Rick Snyder has favored a longer-term comprehensive approach that would invest over $1 billion a year in the effort, but fellow Republicans in the legislature have withheld support for the tax and fee increases that would fund the governor's plan. Other states face similar log jams, but recently one overcame theirs. Last November, Pennsylvania officials, who faced many of the same issues we have in Michigan, passed a measure that injected just over $2 billion a year into its transportation system. Today, a Pennsylvania transportation official visiting Lansing will explain how that happened. We're pleased to welcome him to Current State Now. Brad Mallory's Executive Deputy Secretary for Administration for PennDOT, the Pennsylvania Department of Transportation. And Mr. Mallory is addressing the County Road Association of Michigan today at the Best Western Plus on Lansing and South Cedar. Welcome to Lansing, Mr. Mallory.
It's good to be here, and thanks for having me.
Sure. We've been discussing road funding in Michigan for several years, at least. Was it a long, drawn-out situation in Pennsylvania as well?
It certainly was. We've been at it for about 3 years, and as you point out, the similarities between the two states in this regard are really quite remarkable.
You just heard a fairly stripped-down version of the debate here in Michigan. At the moment, it's largely about GOP unwillingness, Governor Snyder notwithstanding, to increase taxes and fees for a comprehensive fix. Was there a similar dynamic in Pennsylvania?
In fact, there was. Between our two chambers, the upper chamber, our state Senate, less so. But in our Pennsylvania House of Representatives with a Republican majority, there was, enormous concern about this and debate back and forth and even some, fairly hard feelings, I think, generated over time arising out of the debate. But we ultimately were able to break through that.
So you have a Republican governor, a Republican House. You're saying you have a Democratic majority Senate?
No, it's a Republican Senate as well,
oh.
But it wasn't an issue there. The Senate Republicans were, and for that matter, the Senate Democrats were broadly in favor of this action.
Okay, that is quite a similarity. Talk to us here. Walk us through, if you will, how you managed to get through this log jam.
Well, as to some of the similarities, as here, the industry. The Chamber of Commerce, how often does the Chamber of Commerce tell government that they need to raise taxes,
Yeah.
But they did in Pennsylvania, and they did here because they understood that their ability to grow the economy of our respective states was going to be severely compromised if this didn't happen. They were all advocating for this, but I think really what happened was we were able to convince people that the price of doing nothing was actually higher than the price of fixing the problem.
Right.
And, and a winter like this, in some respects, for all the hardship, for all the expense, helps us refocus, I think, on the realities of our infrastructure, because it makes us look at it and say, we can fill potholes from now until doomsday, and that patch can blow out later at any time, or we can fix the road. So that over the longer term, it's much more resistant to deterioration. If you don't have enough money, all you can do is patch. If you've got enough money, you can fix it. And then you don't have the delays, the detours, the suspension problems, the tire problems, and the expense. And in reality, paying some more, perhaps at the in a gasoline tax or a driver or vehicle fee, is one, it's predictable. And in the longer term, we believe it's significantly less than the cost of doing nothing.
Mm-hmm. Well, Governor Snyder has made that very point on many occasions. I'd like to go through some of the key components of your state's transportation spending agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the similarities are quite surprising. You hiked license and registration fees, which Governor Snyder put on the table here. The legislature here didn't like that. How did you round up the votes for that? Was that a matter of what you just referred to, just eventually enough legislators being persuaded that the costs really made sense, that it was a price worth paying?
I think so. And they were beginning to see, you know, in Pennsylvania we have a particular bridge problem. The state owned 25,000 bridges. And, you know, with chronic underfunding over time, the condition of those bridges was deteriorating. Now, frankly, there was a massive rebuilding bridge program in Pennsylvania, but even that couldn't keep up with the deterioration because of the age of our structures, which, once again, I'll bet the age profile is very similar to that here.
Mm-hmm.
So it became necessary, and I know some people, I'm sure, thought this was some kind of political ploy. It wasn't. It was just the engineering numbers. The condition of our bridges began to deteriorate to the point where we had to post and load restrict more of them. That is to say, a heavy vehicle can no longer go across this bridge. And in some instances, that literally meant that not only, you know, could not a semi-trailer go across, but it might have been that the fire truck, you know, had to take a detour, you know, to get across where
right.
they previously could cross that bridge. Now, I will tell you, at that point in time, obviously people start to think about, whoa, this is serious. It has a real effect, and there are consequences to inaction. So these actions, and I just got to say this, I mean, in this day and age, you couldn't get away with trying to engineer this stuff. The data is available, and people call you out on it, and they should. But the data were quite clear. You had to do this. So as we restricted more and more, we did about 1,000 bridges of our 25,000 bridges. Frankly, we were still being very liberal by other state standards, but that really got a lot of people's attention. And ultimately, I think they made a political decision. The Democrats decided, listen, you know, we're going to call a Christmas truce here, and we'll get back at the governor, you know, tomorrow on everything else he wants to do. And the Republicans said, you know, he's our governor, and we need to support this, and we need to get this done. And our people are suffering because of it. Let's get it done.
So Governor Tom Corbett was a an advocate of a larger, more comprehensive approach.
He absolutely was. In his budget address about a year ago, he proposed a package of roughly $1.8 billion of additional investment. Actually, our Senate, based on some earlier studies that had been done, said, well, the number's more like $2.5 billion. And then that debate ensued. And over time and through the legislative process, the number got up to about between $2.3 and $2.4 billion by the fifth year. And I want to stress that because they phased most of these things in. Because although it might be cheaper than doing nothing, still, this is money out of people's pockets ultimately. You know, and they wanted to soften the blow and let people build up to it and accommodate it. And I think that was the right thing to do.
I just, for our listeners' sake, I'd just like to run through a few more of the components of the Pennsylvania agreement here. You did end up limiting the prevailing wage on smaller highway projects, which did upset some number of Democrats.
Yeah, it's very true. But interestingly enough, our labor unions, about half of them supported the package even with that inclusion, and about, candidly, half of them didn't. And the reason those that supported it did was because these were very minor projects. You know, they didn't involve, frankly, a lot of labor anyway. And the work that their union brothers gained far outweighed the diminution. But I'll be very candid with you, it made many of the Republicans in the House feel much better about the package.
I'm
because
sure.
This is a reform that they've sought for a long, long time.
I'm sure. So there was a compromise there.
Exactly.
You raised speed limits, correct?
Well, that was kind of a last-minute thing that came out of our Senate. What they did was include a provision that in certain rural areas of the state, after study, we could raise the speed limit from 65 to 70. And that's still unfolding as to how that's going to play out. To be quite candid with you, I don't think that inclusion played a big role in getting it passed. I don't think it probably scared anybody away either. I think that was just kind of an add-on feature of the legislation, if you we could call it that.
We're talking with Brad Mallory. Brad is the Executive Deputy Secretary for Administration for PennDOT, the Pennsylvania Department of Transportation, and his state last November overcame a lot of the same hurdles that we face here in Michigan with regard to road and transportation funding. I also notice here, Brad, your state lifted the cap on wholesale gas prices. Has that had an upward and as much upward momentum on the price of gasoline as was feared at the time?
Hard to say. Let me explain that. As you correctly point out, the tax in Pennsylvania is assessed at the distribution level. There actually was, before this act, still 12 cents left that were directly imposed at the pump. This act took those 12 cents off and put them back at the wholesale level. And then on January 1 of this year, effectively, because it's a percentage, but effectively added the equivalent of about 9 cents a gallon to that wholesale tax, or the oil company franchise tax, as it's called in Pennsylvania, at the distribution level. Now, the question is, how much of it did they pass through? And there's been a vigorous debate among the industry people and the government insiders on this point, frankly, not so much outside or among people who don't. The gas price of gasoline is so erratic, of course, it's difficult to read it. But
a year ago,
Pennsylvania's gas prices were about 20 cents higher than the national average. They always have been, at least for the last decade. And we're about 20 cents higher than the national average today. Does that mean none of it got passed through? I don't think so at all. I'm sure some of it, maybe even most of it, got passed through. But we honestly don't know. And you really can't quite put your finger on it, but we assume that, you know, the distributors are going to pass through as much of it as they can.
Was the in the end, Brad Mallory, was the Pennsylvania legislative process politics as usual, just harder, or was the process itself different in some way?
I would say it's the same process, and I'd be surprised if it was a different process here. And you know, people want to do the right thing. They want to solve problems. They want to fix things. And sometimes it's very hard to do because of competing interests, because people are very skeptical, I think, as we all know, about government spending in general. And they're afraid that, you know, the money won't get spent for what it was intended for, or won't produce what it was supposed to produce.
Right.
And, you know, and people got to work through all of that, and they should. I mean, it shouldn't be easy to take more money from people. You know, it ought to be hard. And it was, but I think it was the normal political process. I think over time, people just finally came to the realization they had to do something. And persistence, you know, we were at this for 3 full years at least. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the previous governor, a Democrat, Ed Rendell, had argued persuasively for some years that something needed to be done, but he just couldn't get traction. So we've been at this for a long time,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, I would say to the folks here that just persist, keep looking for the right solution for Michigan, and it'll be different than it was for Pennsylvania, I'm sure. Keep looking for the right solution. They'll find it eventually, and they'll be the better for it.
Brad Mallory is the Executive Deputy Secretary for Administration at PennDOT, the Pennsylvania Department of Transportation. He's in Lansing as we speak, about to address the County Road Association of Michigan today at the Best Western Plus in Lansing. Thanks, Mr. Mallory.
Thank you.